Welcome to the NewsHour. Ukrainian troops have encircled the Russian-controlled supply hub of Lyman in the Donetsk region. So that comes a day after President Putin declared four eastern regions, including Donetsk, part of Russia. The head of the Russian-backed administration in Donetsk said on Friday Lyman was partly encircled by the Ukrainian army. We have three correspondents covering the latest developments. Mohammed Val is in Moscow. Huda Abdelhamid is in Zaporizhia. And we have Charles Stratford live for us in Slovyansk in the Donetsk region. Let's go to Charles first. So, Charles, what are you hearing about the encirclement of Lyman and what's happening there?
Yeah, these are some very significant lines coming from the Ukrainian military. They saying that they have surrounded the strategic town of Lyman, a town that fell under the control of the Russians after fierce fighting in May. It is of huge strategic importance because it is a railway hub and a supply line to Russian forces across this region. Of course, this news, if indeed it is true, is significant because it is part of what has been a very successful counter-offensive in the last couple of weeks by Ukrainian forces pushing south from Kharkiv and retaking control of thousands of square kilometres of territory. We are hearing also, according to the Ukrainians, that they believe that up to 5,500 Russian troops could be trapped inside Lyman. And it was the presidential advisor, President Zelensky, the Ukrainian presidential advisor, Mykhailo Podolyak, who has tweeted that Moscow should appeal to Kyiv if they wanted them to release those soldiers. If not, one can only presume the implication is that they will be taken prisoner. We understand that a lot of these men could well be Russian special forces. Of course, it's virtually impossible to verify any of this news at the moment. It's very, very difficult for the media to get any kind of access, even close to Lyman at the moment, and the surrounding villages of Lyman as well, because this operation isn't just concentrated on the city itself. There are a number of villages, both to the north and the south, that we understand the military operation is ongoing inside these villages and settlements. One of the big reasons, again, why this is important news is that from Lyman, it means that Ukrainian forces can potentially push northeast towards Lugansk, which we know they pretty much don't control any of it. There are pockets of Lugansk Oblast that they have been fighting to retake over the last couple of months. And it also means that they can push down from Lyman potentially southeast towards what is increasingly becoming the besieged city of Bakhmut, where there is an ongoing heavy shelling in that city over the last few weeks. And we understand at least 20,000 people, civilians, still in that city. So, yeah, if indeed this is true, this is highly significant in terms of military strategy and a military success for the Ukrainian army.
All right, Charles, you'll keep us across the story. Thank you so much, Charles Stratford, for that update. Let's now bring in Huda Abdelhamid. She's joining us from Zaporizhia. And there are reports that the director general of the nuclear plant where you are in Zaporizhia has been detained by Russian forces. Tell us what you're hearing.
Yes, indeed. We actually spoke to the Energoatom, which is the company, Ukrainian company, that is in charge of the Zaporizhia plant. And we talked to the civil administration here. And they both say that basically the director of the plant was driving yesterday from there to the city of Energodar, which is on the part of Zaporizhia claimed by Russia, when a Russian patrol stopped him, got him out of the car, blindfolded him. And they, at this stage, they don't know where he is, nor do they know what's the fate of the Ukrainian employees who have been working at that factory, even though the Russians had seized it in the very beginning of the war, while these employees had stayed there to make sure of the safety of that nuclear plant. They are the ones who actually shut down all six reactors, one after the other. They are the ones who rehooked that plant to the electrical grid. So there is no news of that. And there's also no news of the two experts of the International Atomic Agency who had remained behind after a delegation had visited it about a month ago. Now, I don't know if they pulled out or not. We have no information about that at this stage. But I have to say, you really get a feeling that ever since President Vladimir Putin made that announcement, Russia is taking control of that part of Zaporizhzhia that it claims, which is not very far from where we're standing. Now, this is a road where usually at this time of the day you would see civilians coming out of that part of Zaporizhzhia region, some of them coming from the Kherson region. We are told by authorities that since midnight no one has been able to come through. The Russians wouldn't let them through. They now need a special permission to be able to cross into Ukrainian side. That's very similar to what happened actually in Crimea after Russia annexed it back in 2014. So as we understand it, we spoke to some of those who managed to come out at the last minute, really. Now there's need of that special permit, and they were told by the Russian soldiers at that last checkpoint that this is now going to be considered an international border.
Okay, thank you so much. Hoda Abdelhamid reporting from Zaporizhzhia. Well, let's find out what the Russians are saying about all of this and cross over to Moscow. Mohammad Val joining us from there. So it's almost 24 hours, Mohammad, since President Putin declared those four regions in Ukraine as part of Russia. What are you hearing from your end, and what's the mood like in Moscow?
Well, Darin, the mood is a mood of satisfaction with what President Putin has decreed and had signed. Yesterday in the streets, people were stopping when we were doing our live shots from the streets, congratulating themselves and talking in good words about what Putin has decided. We understand, of course, that not Russians are, you know, for this war or maybe for this annexation. But at least in the streets, the visibility is for those who are waving national Russian flags and showing that they are happy with the decision. Not many statements have come out since that big celebration yesterday and that signing. But we know that the deputy chairman of the the Russian Federation Council of Security, Dmitry Medvedev, on his account on Telegram, he criticized the statements. He criticized actually the application by President Zelensky for the for joining NATO, and he said that instead of leading to solutions, this is going to speed up towards World War III. He said that that's not a good decision. He also criticized Ian Stoltenberg for his statements in which he said that if Ukraine stops fighting, it means the end of Ukraine. He said instead of that, if Ukraine continues to fight, it will mean the death of many more Ukrainians. So Russians are very firm in their stance towards what they have decided, and they are adamant that they will not only going to defend the land that they annexed, but they are also going to complete the liberation in their terms of the rest of those territories.
Thank you so much. Mohammad Val reporting from Moscow.